Good morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me over to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. I want to begin by looking at one verse there, and then we're going to jump to Colossians. Again, Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Now, if you turn a few pages over to the third chapter of Colossians, I want to pick up beginning in verse 12. Again, Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Maybe you've heard the story about the Jew, the Catholic, and the Christian, all of which are older men, all of which lived in San Antonio. And one day they were sitting in a restaurant, and they were talking about life. And then suddenly a flash of lightning and a bolt of thunder struck, and an angel appeared to all three of them. The angel spoke first to the Jew and said, "Tell me your greatest prayer request, and it will be granted." And the Jew said very earnestly, I grew up in Israel, and I have prayed for the peace of Jerusalem all of my life. That's my prayer request." And suddenly it was granted, and there was peace in Jerusalem and all across the nation of Israel. Then the angel spoke to the Catholic. "Tell me your greatest prayer request, and it will be granted." And the Catholic said, "Well, I grew up in Ireland, and though it's better, I've always desired that there just be peace in Northern Ireland ever since I was a lad, and that's my greatest prayer request." And instantly, there was peace that broke out all across the islands of Great Britain. Finally, the angel spoke to the Christian and said, "Tell me your greatest prayer request, and it will be granted." And the Christian said this, "I sure would like to get away from the hustle and bustle of my world and go play golf at the Hilton Hill Country Resort. But whenever I have a little time, traffic is so terrible on Loop 1604 that I just sit there for hours. And so I would like for you to build a highway for me directly from my house to the Hyatt Hill Country Resort." Angel looked a little surprised, and he said, "That's an awful, selfish prayer request. Can't you do better than that? Can't you ask for something that would improve life or for people on earth?" And so the Christian thought for a moment, and he finally said, "Well, I have three daughters and no sons. I have a mother and no father. I have a mother-in-law and no father-in-law. I have two sisters and no brothers, and I have one female cat. And I would sure like it if you would grant me the ability to understand women." Angel said, "I'm going to have to go check with God on that one." And in a twinkling of an eye, the angel was gone, and then he came back and returned, and the Christian said, "Well, what did God say?" And he said, "Do you want that highway to be two lanes or four lanes?" Understanding women seems to be an insurmountable mountain for men. So much fun standing here doing this morning, because I can look out and I can see the women on the edge of their seats wondering what foolish thing I'm going to say this morning, and the men are all sitting there turning their heads from side to side, trying to decide where this is leading, what kind of trouble I'm going to get them into, and when this is going to be over. Entitled the sermon, as you can see here, What Women Wished Men Knew. Perhaps before I should venture on in the sermon, we need to remind ourselves of this great saying. He who thinks he knows what he does not know is a fool. Avoid him. He who does not know what he does not know is a child. Teach him. He who does not care, exhort him. And he who knows that he knows, wise, follow him. So both you ladies and your guys are saying, Ron, I think you ought to go with the first one. He who thinks he knows what he does not know is a fool, and avoiding. So I'm not confident in talking about this subject, what women wished men knew. So the information I'm going to share with you this morning didn't come from me. It comes from a survey that was completed by 1,000 married women and 500 single women from a church that was in Leawood, Kansas. Nothing special about these ladies other than they were obviously attending that church. So maybe that speaks something about the reliability of the information that you're going to get. But it's interesting that the results of this survey that took place in that church among women correlates very close to the information that you can find in that old book that all of us guys probably looked at and didn't want to buy, by John Gray, entitled Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. Remember that? So this morning I'm going to share with you what women wished men knew about women. So the first question you got to ask is, why learn what women wish men knew about women? What does that matter in the kingdom of God? Why is that important to discuss from a sermon? What's the biblical significance to men to know what women want? Well, I'm going to give you two answers, and the second answer builds upon the first. So the first answer is simply this. We learn what women need in order to love them. It's that simple. We can't love people properly if we don't understand people's needs. Mother loves her baby, right? Loves her baby by feeding her baby, by holding the baby, by changing the baby's diaper, and the mother is, if she's clueless about when the baby is hungry or when the baby is miserable because of the diaper being dirty, I mean, she wouldn't be able to respond and give the baby the love that the baby needs. You don't show love to a baby by buying a baby a car. You might buy that child a car when that child becomes a teenager or grown, but laying keys in the bassinet's not going to help that child at all. Likewise, you need to feed that baby, but you can't feed that baby a steak. That's not what the baby needs at that age. You've got to feed him or her with the right food. People respond, duh, of course. I mean, isn't that obvious? Aren't these instinctive things that mothers know? When to hold a baby, when to feed a baby, when to change a baby. Well, I don't know, maybe to some degree that's true, but I don't know that I've met too many first-time mothers who didn't want their mother, or if their mother wasn't available, some older woman to be present at or shortly after the birth in order to help her learn what it is that the baby needs, relying upon the experience of the older woman. What did we read in Ephesians 5:25? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And we're going to go into that a bit deeper later in this message. But But we're called by that verse in order to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and the Christ that loved the church knew what the church needed. It needed redemption. It needed to be nourished. Those that are around Christ, those that are a part of the church even today, though we may want a new house, that's not what we need. We may want a new car, but that's not what we need. We want a vacation, but that's not what we don't need a gift certificate to Walmart. Though we might want it, what we need is redemption. Humanity needs redemption and forgiveness of sins, and that's what Christ provided because he knew what we needed. So in like fashion, women have certain needs. And guys, we've got to learn what those needs are in order to know how to love women. You might think it's instinctive, but I'm a guy, I can tell you it's not. And many guys, they don't have role models and great fathers or grandfathers or older men to teach them. So this leads us to the second reason men need to learn what women need. John Gray said it effectively in the title of his book. It's real simple. Men are from Mars. And where are women from? Venus. What's that saying? Men and women are very different. We don't have to read that in a book to know that. We learned it by meeting with people, by talking with people, by looking at people, by having relationships with the opposite sex. We come to know that physically, emotionally, relationally, though we may complement one another, we're very different. Men are from Mars. Women are from Venus. So men have to learn a whole new language if they want to communicate with the women who are in Venus. We speak Martian, guys. They speak Venusian. I don't know how you would pronounce that. But it's very different because they're very different planets. Think of how we train our missionaries when we send them out to the missionary field. We just don't say, here's a ticket on an airplane. See you in Africa. We set them down and we train them for a period of time. We teach them the language. We try to get them to understand the culture so that when they get there and they're in the field, they can be effective. In a sense, same thing. Guys, we need to be trained to be able to speak Venusian. Women want us to speak Venusian. They even understand that we're going to have a little Martian accent. But still, if you're going to love them, you need to understand them. Before I share what these women say, men, I want you to get out a piece of paper, maybe it's the bulletin, find you a pen or pencil, and I want you to write down what you think are the four things that women wished men knew. Because later they're going to look over at your paper to see if you were anywhere close. And so just to help you out, I'm going to give you a hint. All four of these start with the letter A. A. Write them down. No peeking, ladies. You know they got them wrong. The first is this. Affection. Oh, affection. Wives indicated that they felt loved when their husband touched them intimately. Wait a minute, guys. Your mind's racing, but non-sexually. Women feel love when men hug them, when they kiss them, when they snuggle with them. But they know when you have an antenna up and you're just doing that because you want something more physical. They're not normally against the latter, but they crave the former. An act of affection for affection's sake. Married women reported that they appreciate not only physical acts of affection, but also words of affection. Oh yeah, those words like, I love you. Not just once, but on a regular basis. Women who had been married more than 40 years in that survey of 1,000 married women, listed that as one of the key parts to the success of their marriage. Women also reported in the survey that they like surprises. Yeah, surprises. Some little unexpected expression of affection. Maybe it was a short note. Maybe it was a brief email. Maybe it was buying them something, a candy. Maybe it was taking them out on a date, even though you've been married a long time. They wanted to do the kinds of things that you wanted to do when you were dating them. That's on the top of their list. Affection. Did you get those? Second one. You may not have gotten. Attentiveness. What's that mean? What women on the survey said they wanted most from the men was their undivided attention. They don't like it when we listen to them with one ear while we're listening to the football game with the other ear. They don't even care for us when we listen with both ears, but both eyes are in the newspaper over the cereal bowl. They don't care if you can repeat verbatim what they had just said. What they want is you to give them attention. One woman wrote, "I wish my husband knew how important it is to stop and look in my eyes and just tell me I am important to him." And they feel most distant when their husbands fail to listen and they treat them as if their thoughts don't matter. There's an old saying that goes something like this: sometimes the way to a woman's heart is through her ears. You've all heard the story about women speak thousands, tens of thousands of more words a day than men. Men go off to work. They've spoken their few hundred words they're going to speak. They come home. They're ready to just be silent. And she's just getting warmed up. Our language barriers also keep us from communicating and offering proper attention. Women say, "You never listen to me." Guys, have you ever heard that? And of course, we're from Mars and we reply back, "Of course I listen to you. You just said you never listen to me." As if we just won some argument. We would have won, men, if we were in Mars, but we won't win if we're in Venus. Let me put this into Martian language so we can understand it. When she says, "You don't ever listen to me," she's saying, "I don't feel like you listen to me anymore. I feel like you listen to other people more than you do me. I feel rejected and unloved when you're not listening to me. I want to matter to you. I want you to care for me. I want you to look me in the eye and pay attention to me so that I know that you're listening to me. I know you love me. I appreciate all the things that you do for me, but right now I simply want you to listen. Don't give me that quick answer and then go back to your paper. I don't need an answer. I need your attention. Stop everything for a few minutes and simply listen." That seems pretty simple, doesn't it, Martians? But that's not the way we act, is it? We talk enough in order to solve the problem. What's the problem? Here's the fix. We're done. And Martians don't talk too much about their feelings. So they don't normally recognize emotional listening, which is what we're talking about. So men, we need to practice our attentiveness if we're going to meet the needs of our wives and love them. Here's the third one, and it's a phrase: active involvement with kids. Third need that married women expressed is for us to be actively involved with our children at home, and especially those women who are ages 30 to 50 years old. They said they feel especially loved when they see that their husband is taking time to be involved with their children, or later in life, involved not only with their children, but with their grandchildren. Because women are nurturers. And when they see a man nurturing, that relates to them. Active involvement with kids is a significant way to show your love to your wife. Fourth, how are we doing? 0-3? What can I say? Appreciation. I bet the ladies had that one down. Kind of like listening and attentiveness, but appreciation. Married women in the survey said they long to just be appreciated. They want to feel like they are noticed for who they are and what they do. They want to be cherished. They want to be treasured. They want not to be taken for granted. And on the other side of that coin, many of those in the survey say they are most distant when their husbands are critical, or they're negative, or they're unappreciative. I guess it's easy for one to take advantage of another in a long-term relationship. We, over time, forget to say thank you for all of the things that you do. I mean, you're busy cooking, perhaps, or taking care of the house, or washing the clothes, or helping with the budget, or taking care of the kids, and spending all of your available time dealing with somebody that's related to you, like your extended family or your friends, and no time for themselves. They just want you to appreciate them. So how'd you do? Affection? Attention? Actively involved with the kids? And appreciation? The survey was extensive, though. They did ask this question. What would women change about their husbands? Well, these ladies in Kansas had a long, long list that we don't have time to go into. But it's interesting that the item that came up most frequently was their wanting their husband to be more actively involved in their faith. I don't know that I can speak to the crowd that's here today, but having spoken up here for 40 years, I can tell you it's often that a woman is here without her husband than for a husband to be here without his wife. They wanted men to be more active in their faith. They longed for men to share in the spiritual walk that their wives were taking. They wished that their husbands would be more positive, less critical, better organized, take care of themselves better. And an interesting tidbit, those women by age 50 said that they would change nothing in their husbands. By the ages of 60 and 70, that was always. I mean, one woman summed it up. We can guess what the reasons were. She said, look, I finally, having been married now for 40 years, I've got him just the way I like him. Martians, maybe there's hope for us if we're willing to change. There are a lot of single guys out here. Single gals. Survey wasn't just to married women. There were also 500 single women. What did single women want? Well, here's kind of a list. Strong Christian faith, 75%. Honesty, 40%. Sense of humor, 20%. Caring, loving, and kind, 40%. Respectful, 30%. All these guys are wondering, where's physical appearance on this? Yes, it was on the list for those gals who were in their 20s. But by the time they were in their 30s and beyond, only 15% of them listed appearance as important in what they desired. in their mate. So maybe that six-pack app is not as important as a heart that's devoted to Christ. What did single women find that was most unattractive about men? Nearly every woman who was single said she is turned off by men who are self-centered, arrogant, egotistical. What's the Bible say? I'm going to give you a secret, guys. Martians, listen carefully. Because the culture doesn't know this. This Bible is the biggest chick magnet that you could ever find. It's a book that teaches men how to be men. It's a book that teaches men how to love. It teaches men how to meet the real needs of women. All you've got to do is read it and follow the instructions, and you're going to have a better relationship. Let's go back to what Paul said. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. I don't know of any woman in the world who doesn't want to be loved like that. What does it mean to love your wife as Christ loved the church? Well, what did Christ do for the church? Even before there was the church, Christ sacrificially gave himself on behalf of the bride, the church. His death on the cross was the ultimate demonstration of his love for the church. He gave everything he had to serve us. He gave everything to love us. He gave everything to save us. Husband, that's your calling. Called to love your wives like Christ loved the church. Marriage is a beautiful thing. It's a gift from God to men and to women. And our women love to be treasured today just as much as when they walked down the aisle and said, "I do." And part of our calling, men, is to offer them that sacrificial love like Christ offered to the church. And don't forget, women, at least those that were surveyed in a church, are longing to be partners in their walk, in their faith with you. Because they know that a marriage will never be as it is intended by God until both the man and the woman are united and committed in their relationship, not only to each other, but to Christ. And they long to share that part of their life with you. So men, this is what women need in order to be loved by us. We could call it Venusian love. I think I'd rather call it Christian love. Because that's Christ's love that he extends to earth. All the way from Mars to Venus to earth to heaven. Paul gives us a great closing. That which we read in Colossians in chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Man, if we could just think about that before we open our mouths or do our action, and we do all as Christ would have us to do. You can't lead your wife. You can't love your wife like Christ loved if you aren't a part of the kingdom of the church. Be it man or woman this morning, we have an invitation, a chance for you to be united with Christ, to begin your life, your family, your future. Come, if you will, through faith. Through repentance of your sin, through confessing that you believe that Jesus is Christ, by being immersed, wash away those sins, rise as a new creature in Christ. Come if you will, as we stand and sing together.